was texting with my wife, Patty, who is away for a portion of the summer at her sister's trailer overlooking a lovely lake near Pembroke, Ontario. And I had just texted her and said, good morning, dear, and, you know, may God bless your day. And she texted me back, and she said, yours too. She said, I already had church. I said, down by the lake, I listened to you from your July 1st message. I'm like, that is so weird. You know, it's just weird. And so just a reminder, if at some point during the summer you're not here or which is the same as being away, you can always listen to the messages online. And you can find them on our website, pioneerparkchurch.com. And you might be sitting by a lake. If you have reception, you can listen to them there too. So just so you know. In fact, we're continuing our summer series we're calling Made New. It's called Made New. We're looking at what the Bible says about things that are new, or the idea of newness in the Bible. And a couple of weeks ago, we considered the new life that's available to everyone through Jesus. Anyone who belongs to Christ, to Jesus, has become a new person. A new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. Last week, Steve, we considered God's mercies, which His Word tells us are available and new every morning. And they are everything that we need for that day. Not tomorrow, but for that day. The mercies that we need for tomorrow and the strength will be available then. And this was the verse we looked at. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Well, today I'd like to consider with you some verses from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament that I would suggest to you help us to be spiritually refreshed and renewed. They're found in Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21, and they'll be up on the screen here. I'm going to read them. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, that is the Red Sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Goes on to say, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. God, I just pray just that you'd open our hearts and minds to whatever it is that you have for us. Lord, not my words, but you, Holy Spirit, what you have for us from your word today. Thank you. Amen. I'd like to suggest that our verses today ask you and me four things. They ask of us four things: to remember, to forget, to see, and to say. I debated with the see and say, you know, because it's kind of like, oh, that reminds me of a little toy of a kid, you know, the little see and say, you see it and then you say it. But anyway, I think it calls us to do two things: remember, forget, four things: remember, forget, see, say. Isaiah 43, 16 to 17, the first couple of verses we read, I'm going to read them again. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. That sounds mean. It doesn't sound like really nice verses, but if you know the story, you'll understand that those who were never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick, had many, 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 many chances to repent and to follow God's lead, to come to Him, but there was evil and intent for death, and so this is the result of all of that for them. But over and over again in the Old Testament, God's people are called by God to remember the good things, remember the mighty things that He has done, the ways in which He has acted with grace and compassion in the past, the miracles that He has done. Repeatedly, you find the Old Testament prophets calling God's people to remember. You also find the writers of the Psalms talking about or reminding themselves and others to remember. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Psalm 105, verse 5, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. Psalm 143, 5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. So remembering is, recalling is a really, really important biblical practice. In fact, Steve shared that with us when he spoke of it, even as a spiritual discipline. In today's verses, Isaiah is writing to the people of Israel, God's people, who are now, at this point that he writes, living in exile once again in a place called Babylon. And they have been for some time. And when Isaiah writes this to them, he begins these verses that we read, he writes to them, their faith and hope was at such a low point during this captivity in Babylon that they constantly needed assurance that things would turn around. And so he reminds them. And throughout the book of Isaiah, these assurances are repeated using different word pictures to describe God's love for them. And so in chapter 43 of his book, Isaiah recalls what may be the single most important event in the history of God's people in the Old Testament, where God makes a promise to deliver them. In fact, if we just sort of step back a bit or step this way a bit, the people in this case, when he writes about God delivering them through the sea and all of that, the people had been under the thumb of the Egyptians for about 400 years, oppressed as slaves, living in terrible conditions. And what happened back then, we're here with Isaiah, but back here when they were in captivity with the Egyptians, God made a promise that's recorded in the book of Exodus. And this was the promise he made to them back here. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. That was an incredible promise. One that wasn't easy to believe, partly because the people who were enslaved in Egypt didn't even have a reference point for what freedom felt like. The generation this was written to back then had never known freedom. And the hope behind this promise may well have seemed empty to the people, maybe even cruel. Nevertheless, God made this promise to deliver them, and he did because God's promises are reliable and true. And that's something that God wants us to know. Remember God's faithfulness to fulfill his promises. He's faithful to do that. And so as Isaiah is here writing to the people in our verses today during their Babylonian captivity, he says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the Red Sea, through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drove the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. God promised to deliver his people. It took time, but his promise and the fulfillment of the promise is remembered here by Isaiah. Even though this was a particular promise from God to his people Israel at a particular time in history, it's also very importantly a principle of how God works, even today. For the encouragement of our faith and hope, it's good for us to remember what God has done in the past. Not only for us, but for his people. God is faithful, and his intentions toward us are for blessing, not harm. And as we're doing that, as we practice, as we remember, might even be helpful to us that as we talk with God, we might pray something like this: God, help me to live in the hope of your promises, your love, your desire to bring healing, your plans for me and my family and my community, which are plans for good and not harm. And so Isaiah's passage calls us to remember, and then it calls us to forget. It's kind of weird being that close to each other. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So the first step of being renewed and refreshed spiritually is to remember God's promises. But we're also called to forget. What is it that God wants us to forget? Well, God makes this promise to do new and even greater things than he had done in past days. Partly so that the people wouldn't need to complain like someone named Gideon did. And we read what he said in the book of Judges. He says this, "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" This is what Gideon was saying at a certain point in his life. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?'" Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever thought, why is all this happening in my life? Why is this happening to me? What about all the good things I always hear about what God has done before? How come he's not doing them now? It's kind of what was going on when Isaiah wrote, and the message in our Isaiah passage wasn't so expect God to do a repeat performance. No. Isaiah was saying, get ready for even better things. Get ready for the things he's doing now and he's going to do. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. We need to always be careful not to undervalue the present things that God's doing and wants to do, as if some former days or things were better than these. We need to be careful of that. In the sense of comparison, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past, begrudging the present. Put in a way that helps me, I think in these terms, don't let the blessings of the past be the anchors to the future. In other words, don't let the blessings of the past be the anchors that hold you back from God's preferred future for you. We must always worship the blesser, not the blessing. And so we don't forget what God has done in the past, but we just don't dwell on it and say, oh, if he would only do that again, then things would be great. But we look at the new things that God is doing. Forget the past. And he says then in verse 19, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" The new thing that God was doing and wants to do in our lives, it's no way inferior in wonder or worth to the things that he's done in the past. I don't know what God might be doing in your heart or life. Maybe you don't either, but he is always at work. And I guess there are things in your life and situations where you need God to do a new thing. Or maybe you're here and you're saying he's doing it right now. And I'd say with you, praise God. Maybe it's refreshing and renewing you spiritually. Maybe it's beginning a new walk with him, receiving the new life that Jesus talks about and offers to each one of us. Ask him to show you the new thing that he's doing. Well, listen to what Jeremiah said in regard to this idea. This is what Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 23, verse 7 and 8. He wrote, "So then the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, 'As surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt,' but they will say, 'As surely as the Lord lives who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land.'" So see what he's saying? He's saying the day will come when they don't just say, "As surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt," because I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to do some more things, right? And there will a day come where he says, they'll say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries, because I'm going to do more than just that. So don't just dwell on that. Remember it, but don't just dwell on it. Forget that too, in a sense of comparison, because I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to do more things. So don't get stuck on that blessing back there, because I'm the God of more than that. He's the God of more than just the blessings of the past. But he's the God of what's going on right now. He's the God of a new thing. Though former things should be remembered, the new things, the fresh things, need to be acknowledged and celebrated now. There was more that God was going and was doing and going to do. And today is the same. There are things that God is doing and is going to do. And let's pray that we have not only eyes to see it, but that we can somehow be part of it. Whether it be as a church or as individuals, that we will see those things that he is doing and wants to do in and through us. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you have hope that God's doing a new thing in your life? Part of the thing in our passage of Isaiah that we read here, part of the thing in our passage that God is promising is not only to deliver them out of their current captivity in Babylon, but to bring them safely to their own land. In Isaiah 43, those verses we read, he said, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The way from Babylon, where Isaiah is writing to them, to Canaan, or the promised land, as well as previously from Egypt, the way was through a desert land. And God would provide for them so they'd have what was necessary to make the journey to get through their desert experience. The same power of God that made a way in the Red Sea can make a way in the wilderness, even through greatest difficulties. God, who made dry land in the Red Sea, can make water in the driest desert. And that's what he did. In fact, in this case, so much water as to not only be enough for the people, but the animals as well. Have you ever been lost in a wilderness? Aaron, you must have gotten lost in the bush somewhere. No, never. Aaron's never been lost in the wilderness. Well, particularly in the Middle East where Isaiah was writing, the wilderness is a lot of desert. A lot of desert. There's a basic lack of things that you need to survive, things like water and food and shelter, and there are things to watch out for, predators and winds and sun beating down on you. And God says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. He is God who makes a way where there is no way. He is God who carves a path through despair, through the driest experiences that we can ever go through. That same power of God is at work today in those who are Christ followers, those who have received that new life that Jesus offers. And God uses the sometimes rough landscape of our lives, the valleys of our experiences, to bring us to places he wants us to be, to become the person he wants us to be. And sometimes it's no fun going through those times. But he makes a way. He makes a way. Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That is the primary way today that God works in our lives, is through the Holy Spirit. What he sends us is what we need the most. God makes a way in our wilderness, in my wilderness, in yours, and he makes streams in our wasteland by giving us himself, by giving us his presence. Our part is to be faithful and to keep growing in our trust of Jesus. So I think Isaiah's passage, we can see we remember God's faithfulness and all his ways. We forget about the former things in the context that they don't limit our looking forward, and we make the conscious daily choice not to dwell in the past. We live with eyes open so that we can see what God's doing in us and around us by his Holy Spirit. But we're also called to talk about it, to be willing to talk about it, to show it in our lives. Our lives, my life, your life, will stand for something. We will each be remembered for something. And our verses finish with this morning. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself. This is the part, that they may proclaim my praise. We were created to proclaim God's praise. Our ultimate purpose is to, as an old Christian catechism or teaching tool says, our ultimate purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Yes, there is something intensely personal and private about our faith in Jesus. We can walk closely with him and know that he is with us every second of the day. We can walk with him and talk with him and experience the benefits of knowing Jesus, but ultimately there is a bigger picture. That bigger picture is God's kingdom, the main topic that Jesus spoke on during his earthly ministry. And wouldn't it be great if your life was remembered for bringing praise and glory to God? Wouldn't that be great if at least that was part of what you were remembered for? Bringing praise and glory to God. Wouldn't it be great if people found the courage to draw nearer to God or to come to Jesus as a result of the fact that you're alive right now? That you choose to always remember God's goodness. That you live the life of a person forgiven by God. That you see what God is doing and that you enter into his purposes. May this be true of us. May we remember God's faithfulness, but not let the past be our focus. May we see the good things that God is doing in our lives and that he intends to do through us. And if you can't see it now, ask him to show you and keep asking him to show you until he does. And may we say or speak about those things to everyone who will listen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing, awesome, miraculous, wonderful, words are so cheap, things that you have done. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember those things, but not get stuck there. Not wish that, oh, if he would do those things again, everything would be great. But Father, help us to see the new things that you are doing, to enter into the new things that you are doing, whether it's in our church, whether it's in our personal lives, whether, I don't know, whatever it is that you have for us. Father, I pray that you would help us then also to, to say, to speak, to be willing to speak about those things. Father, we'll be remembered for something. May it be that we praised and glorified you. May it be that we were people who invited others into that new life that you offer. It's the best news ever. It's the best. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, and God, they're just crying out for you to do a new thing in their lives. Maybe it's in their family. They need to hear from you. They need to see what it is that you want to do. I pray that you would give them eyes to see. Lord, for those who are in the midst of you doing a new thing, help them to keep on. Help them to be faithful and to keep on with you and keep looking ahead. Lord, for those who are living in it and satisfied in it, Lord, I pray that they would be a blessing to others. Father, all this, that your name would be lifted up and honored and glorified, that others would come to know you and enter into this walk in relationship with you. And Father, we ask these things. We call out to you this morning in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.